By the grace of God, we have been reading. We're just reading, but we've been blessed, I believe, as we are reading this particular book. It's titled Chosen But Naughty. Chosen But Naughty. At times, chosen people veer off. Yeah. But the good news is that God is always available to realign us. So in any area where we find ourselves veering off the track, moving away from God's will, we still depend on him. We still trust that he's able to bring us back. For with God, nothing is impossible. Yeah? All right. So please, as the word of God comes today, should you find it to be your weak area, I'd like you to trust God that he's going to bring you strength in that area. Should you know someone who's weak in that area, trust God for that person, believing that God is going to bring strength in that area, that all of us can be strong together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, we're in chapter 4 of the book, and it's titled, His Sons Were Vile. His sons were vile. And that is taken from that 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 2, that was read to us earlier. We will go as swiftly as possible, but I know that God is going to bless us. There was a man called Eli, married with 2 children. He worked all his life as a priest of the Lord. I'm not sure what happened to his wife, but the Bible is silent about this. Maybe he lived with the children alone. It could also be that God decided to hold the father responsible for the deeds of the children. Maybe this is why their mother's story was never told. In Eli's household, there was no other job than serving God by doing the works of priesthood. Since this was their primary responsibility, their livelihood was gotten from the church. God made sure that they were well provided for by the congregation through various offerings. However, the 2 sons got greedy, and they were never satisfied with the portions given to them. Even before their portions were ready or distributed to them, they took all the provisions in God's house without respect for either God or the parishioners. These 2 sons of Reverend Eli, Hophni and Phinehas by name, were not only greedily, they were not only greedy for material things, they were also womanizers. Since they were not just children of the high priest, but also priests themselves, they began to take laws into their own hands, having affairs with various women in the church, believing they were immune to any form of punishment. The wickedness of these 2 people persisted so long that people began to complain amongst themselves and also to the high priest. The same complaint got to God, who also saw all their atrocities. Unfortunately, however, Eli, at his old age, had no control over these children. There was nothing he said to them that either made any impact or stopped their horrible actions. A few puzzling questions may be raised regarding this family. Number 1, was it already too late for Eli? when he started to warn his children against their evil practices? Or could we assume that he never created enough time to train them while they were still young? Did he ever tell them the importance and delicacy of their positions as priests? Were they seriously warned against sexual immoralities and perversions? Were they not taught the law enough to know the grievous consequences of greed and selfishness? May God have mercy on all of us parents. I'm going to say that again. May God have mercy on all of us parents. May God have mercy on our children. There may be some biblical instructions that you and I have taken for granted. But thanks to God, the Lord is faithful to fulfill all his words. No word comes forth from God in vain, people of God. Although the Bible in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he ought to go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Some parents may not consider this injunction to be, they may consider this injunction to be so basic that they don't take it seriously. I ask again, could Eli have failed to start training his children while they were still young? It's just a question. We do not know. It is clear that God would not inflict punishment on anyone just for the sake of doing so. He is the only one who knows the truth of all matters. If he says in 1 Samuel 3:13 that Eli's sons were vile and their father did not restrain them, then we know that the reason for Eli's punishment was the sin of failure to restrain. You and I need prayers. Anyone in this house who has a child, no matter how young that child is, we need prayer. Because sometimes we feel that we're trying our best. But the Lord who knows our heart knows if our best is really what we're putting in or less than our best. I suspect that if God sees that we are putting in our best, he will not punish us. So we need his grace to put in our best so that he will not find us guilty. We need God's grace that when we're putting in our best, that our best will be enough, that our children will respond, that they will do God's will as we teach them to do, so that everyone in the family, that it would be well with us. Look, people of God, just because of Eli's neglect to strictly discourage his children from corruption, God declared that long life will no longer be in his lineage. Parenting is a serious matter. All of us need God. We just need God. We need God. At different stages of our children's lives, different needs, different methods, different work, different prayers need to be put in place. Yeah? The age when you say sit down there and they sat is different from the age where do this and they say, I'm not getting ready to do that. That means I'm not doing that. I'm not thinking of doing that. I don't want to do that. Yeah? Even after they ask why and you tell them why, they still say, well, I'm not getting ready to do that. What are you going to do? They're not getting results, oh. But they still don't want to change. But may God have mercy on us and on our children. But it's so serious that at least we parents, if God does not find us that we are serious in showing them the way, something terrible could happen. God told this man, there isn't going to be anyone that will get old in that lineage anymore. Have you ever considered that ordinary failure to train your children in the way of God could result in mishaps and untimely deaths, as a matter of fact, even in generations to come? This is why we keep asking for mercy, because we're going to need it. Eli was the high priest when the ark of God was in Shiloh. What was his offense? An old man came to church and performed his duty. But his offense to God was that he failed to restrain his children, Hophni and Phinehas, from vileness. The Bible says, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Right? Please, let God help you to train your children. Let the community help you to train your children. Don't be a mother or a father when your child is disciplined and all of a sudden you get mad. All of a sudden you don't want to go to that church anymore. Or all of a sudden you start to write petition against that teacher or whoever is helping you out in your neighborhood. Yeah? It takes not Bill Clinton, the wife, Hillary, that said it takes a nation to raise a child. May God help us. It's a serious job. A village in Africa, to train a whole village, would need to be able to train that child. God help us. Can you say amen? Now, we know his offense. It's that he was weak in the area of parenting. What was his punishment? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 32 says, there shall not be an old man in the house of Eli forever. Please pray for us, pastors. Oh. Did you hear what I said? I said I need prayer. All of us. And I think you need prayers too. Let's pray for each other. Oh. If you see my children messing up, pray for me. If I see your children messing up, you know what you need? Prayer. Bashing you can't help you. Because we don't know how to do any better. Because if you keep reading that story, you will hear once a while Eli say, stop now. That's all he could do, an old man. If you flog children in this nation, what's going to happen to you? And you say, it's not flogging that does the job. Okay, fine. Can words do the job? Yeah. But are words doing the job? No. So please, do word, do counsel, do prayer, smile, frown, do everything. But don't mistreat, don't maltreat, don't hurt, don't cut. But fear God enough to say, listen, the way of the Lord is better for you. And wherever you need to put restriction, put it. Some, you know, they're our children. We love them so. We we are sometimes even afraid to mete out punishment, right? Or we feel we love them so much and care so much that we don't want to discourage them so that they don't feel depressed. There are so many depressed children in the world now, so don't talk negatively so they don't feel depressed. Oh, God have mercy. God help us. So, unless the Bible is not true, unless God has changed, if he hasn't changed, we will succeed. We will succeed. We will succeed in raising our children by his grace. Because if he meets this type of punishment to a priest, so what if the person is not a priest? The Bible shows that both Eli and his two sons died on the same day. Don't forget the title of the book, Chosen but Naughty. One, something that all of us got to just pray that, Lord, don't let me get there. If I'm already on the route of naughtiness, drive me back however you will. Because God is no partial person. Yes, I chose you, but if you decide to discard me, I discard you. As we read in 1 Samuel 4, 1 through 18, while both sons died in war against the Philistines, and the ark of God was taken away, the father too died of heart attack when he was informed of his son's death, and also that the ark had been captured. He had two bad news on the same day. He fell and died. Unfortunately, the doom upon Eli's house came to pass, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spoke concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh, when Solomon removed Abiathar, the last high priest of Eli's line. He removed him from office for his participation in Adonijah's rebellion and restored the line of Eleazar in the person of Zadok. I think it is safe to say that the death of Eli spelled the end of priesthood in Israel. Starting from Samuel, it was prophets that took over. Their reader, their listener, their children of God. If you are a priest, should priesthood end with you? Or will you train your children to continue your legacy by God's grace? If you are not a priest, should the life of your children not be a blessing to generations? We pray that goodness will not end with us. Our children will continue. Yes, you may say that Eli was a pious man who served God with all his heart. However, mere laxity in fatherhood. Fathers in the house. Hey, Joe. Fathers in this congregation, fathers under the sound of my voice, please don't take your responsibility lightly. Don't take your job of fatherhood as a simple one. God is holding us responsible. Please. The earlier we started to show them the way of the Lord, the better. The better the chance that they will know the way and walk in the way. And there are some of us who have been showing them the way of the Lord since day one. Yet, they become teen. They become 20-something. And they look at you in the face. Now compare that with someone who has even been careless from day one. Fathers in the house, please don't overwork to a point that you have no time for your children. When it's time to meet discipline, please meet it. Don't always say, go to your mother. Don't tell your wife, Shorome, do you see your child? You agree with me? That is in the house, God will ask us. God will ask us, oh. It's easy to be the head of the house, eh? God will ask you for being head. It's easy to father a child, eh? God will ask us for fathering. All of you single people, pray. God, just help me. Before you start making baby new. Somebody is looking at his watch. He says, no, I still got some time. Stop praying now. It's too serious, you know. It's so real. It's so real. God help us. We may say the man was pious. He was doing his priestly work. It's just his children that didn't listen. God knows the difference. If we insisted or if we didn't insist. If we insisted, God will make the difference. But if we didn't insist, then God includes us with them, even though they're the ones messing up. That's what I see in Eli's situation. Because Samuel's, you should be praying for pastors. I don't know what happened. Samuel's children too are bad boys. I don't know why. Maybe we receive a lot of attacks. Maybe. I don't know why. But somehow God spared Samuel. God didn't put this on Samuel. So God, who reads the heart, must have known the difference. You tried. They're the ones who didn't listen. Versus Eli, you didn't try. My accusation against you is that you did not restrain your children. That's the difference. We're on page 41 at the bottom. Those two sons, both priests, were not only greedy, they were self-centered. They were womanizers. They were also drunks. They were power drunk, and they could not be curtailed. The Bible says, that's the scripture that was read to us, chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, from verse 12 to 17. Yeah, the Bible says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. That's one. They did not know the Lord. That's number two. Pastor's child didn't know God. And the priest's custom was, the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a three-pronged hook in his hand. If my translation called it fork, maybe it would even lessen the, but it says hook. In his hand, while the meat was still boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. And the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. They did in Shiloh to to all the Israelites who came there. Because we are the priest. I can dip my hand into church purse anyhow I want. Nobody can question me. I am the son of the pastor. You can't talk to me. Yeah? That's what these people were doing. Oh. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." And if the man said to him, "At least let us burn the thing that the way God told us, let's burn off the fat first. Huh? Then you can take as much as you'd want after that." He would answer him and say, "Nope, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force." Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord.